It's Thursday, September 13th, and the Packers start the season 1-0 with a victory over the Chicago Bears. We turn the page to the Vikings and check the status of Aaron Rodgers. Also, the Brewers and Cubs just wrapped up a big three-game set down at Wrigley. We'll see where this leaves the team as we enter the final stretch of the 2018 season. Also, all these rivalries taking place right now, which one is your favorite? We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at MitchRossMKE and at SnowTapWY. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome in to another edition of the Tap in the Keg podcast, episode 304. Charlie here with you. We are in the alternative keg. Still not in the studio, but we're hanging in there. Excited to talk to you guys. Excited to be back in the mix. Mitch on the ones and twos. Mitch, how you doing, bub?
I'm good. Thank you.
That's good. Got a big week. Just finishing up Brewers Cubs. Which we're taping Wednesday night, so we do not know the results of tonight's game, just as a reference, but we will do our best. Also, too, Packers-Vikings this weekend, it's just been great. I mean, really, nothing's really better than postseason, like competitive baseball in September, because it really bridges the gap until football starts.
Yep.
So then you get Thursday, Brewers are off, then you get a little football on Thursday, you wet the beak, then you have baseball again, and then you have college football Saturday, baseball going. Right. It's great.
It's a great time for Charlie, no question.
It's a great time.
And most people enjoy it, and a lot of people, I've kind of subscribed to the theory myself, too, that, like, just give me a competitive baseball team.
Absolutely, 100%.
Get me through the summer, and, you know, then... And, you know, you could argue that they play baseball too late,
right,
as it is.
Yeah, they probably should end it at
the season probably should end in August.
Like right around here or right around now.
Yeah.
And then playoffs start at the end of September.
But then you wouldn't have these great games in September.
Exactly. And it really is, you know, this has been a really fun week with the Brewers, and it's just been a fun ride. Obviously, they've winning 10 of their last 13, and we'll talk about the Brewers a little bit more coming up. But before we get into it, just want to remind you guys that this weekend you'll have the weekend watch list tomorrow. Then you'll get Pardon Murph's Fantasy
tomorrow
on Saturday. And then NFL Wake and Take. So we will have those shows. And then immediate reaction from the Packer-Viking game then Sunday afternoon.
How'd the inaugural edition of Wake and Take go?
I was out of pocket this past weekend. So. It was a little just due to my scheduling. I didn't have as much time to, I think, plan it out as well as I wanted to, truth be told.
You had some...
I just had a lot of stuff going on. So,
oh, I know.
So I think that it'll be a little bit better. I think it's going to get better each week. Talked a lot about gambling lines and looked at a lot of the sort of here's what you should look at. I don't know if we hit on both. We definitely hit on the Chiefs Chargers over, and I like the under in the Steelers Browns. But I think everyone overreacted a little bit to that weather. In our picks league, which we're both in, we could just call it the Snow Tap Picks League,
even though
it's not sponsored by us.
I struggled mightily.
But I did those lock in on Thursday, and the line that time was 45, so I was able to get the Browns double up because of the tie, so that was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, and that was
I bought into Nolan Murphy's anti-Dolphins Mount Pius, as I like to call it.
I think when you're too close to a situation, you just sometimes that's what I think.
And I call it Mount Pius because Murph is, you know, kind of your typical Packer fan.
Right.
So, like, he thinks that they're like, you know, basically the greatest thing ever and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So he thinks the Dolphins are really, really bad.
I don't think it's that. I think it's just he sees a lot of the media that goes in the spin and just that Ryan Tannehill, and he's exposed to more Dolphins games than we are. But I think it's you can be a prisoner of the moment that way.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but, you know, Tannehill's a lot like Kirk Cousins.
I think he's better than wow,
you guys might give him credit.
Kirk Cousins, yeah. We'll talk Packers Vikings in a little bit. And what I was gonna say about that Browns game was,
you're good. No, go ahead. Sorry. My headphones are giving me a tough time.
No big deal.
I'm trying to
No big deal. Browns were playing in a rivalry game. It was against the Steelers. Packers are in a rivalry game this weekend. Brewers finished a rivalry series. So really the question I started wondering about as I'm thinking about the show is, like, what is your favorite rivalry? So when I say favorite, it could be for a variety of reasons. It couldn't be who's your most hated rival. It's more of who do you enjoy playing? Do you enjoy just the excitement around the Brewers and Cubs? Do you enjoy like the back and forth with Packers and Vikings? Marquette, Wisconsin comes to mind for me as a big one. So those are kind of where I go, and I'd love you guys to weigh in. You know, StoneTapWI on Twitter, Mitch Ross MKE on Twitter, weigh in with your favorite rivalry. I don't know, what do you have, like a, what do you think defines like a rivalry in terms of you enjoy it? Like, is it just the closeness of the games? Is it just every time they play, you know that the team you're cheering for is going to beat the shit out of them? Like, what makes it, what makes a rivalry fun, I guess? Or are rivalries fun? Am I off base here?
To define a rivalry, I think for me, it, this is a little bit of a Mike Fant response.
No, that's fine.
But it's like both sides need to. So, which is why, which is what's made the Brewers and Cubs so good the last couple of weeks, is because you're finally seeing all the salt from the Cubs fans. They've held off all year. The Brewers are finally kind of been more competitive than they have all year in the last 2 weeks, which is tremendous to see at this point.
Right.
So you're now that, you know, the Twitter takes and everything have been, has just been great. It's been enjoyable.
Well,
from a Brewers fan side. So that is always probably my favorite rivalry.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I mean, we had a post on StoneTapWI and we put some money behind it for the flying the L flag. And we had just triggered Cubs fans in about how mad why I hate this and all this stuff, and talking about Raul Mondesi being an embezzler. Like, bro,
he didn't even fucking play for the Brewers. Was he in the Brewers organization?
His son, though, was Raul Jr., same name.
Oh.
He was with the Brewers and then he went to the Royals. And so, but yeah, his dad, I didn't know that Raul Mondesi, who I will always know Raul Mondesi for the Stuart Scott, Raul Mondesi, you know, that's the call when he was doing SportsCenter. But yeah, that was a crazy one. And then today, and I'll probably blog this also today, you had a guy from West Dallas who bitched to a Fox 6 Cubs fan who said, oh, well, I got my W flag taken away at Miller Park in June. So he's bringing this up in. That happened in June. He's bringing this up now in September after the L flag goes on. He looks like a typical squid. I have his picture posted. They had his picture on Fox 6 website. Just looks like a complete clown. Like, do you understand that Miller Park is not a breeding ground for Cubs fans? Do you get it? Like, do you understand that? And I think you're absolutely right. When you can needle fans and you get that salt, I think that's why Packers Vikings is so fun, because it's close all the time. They are, like, last year didn't even feel right with the Vikings beating up on the Packers. It wasn't necessarily that, whatever, you know, it is what it is, but it just didn't feel right. Like, Packers and Vikings are always close. It just, they always seem to have that closeness about them. And it's to that point of why Marquette and Wisconsin is great and why the Barb's there. Marquette and Wisconsin, I think, is a little weirder, because I do think it's kind of odd. And I know I have a lot of people I follow on Twitter who will only like Marquette sports. They will not cheer for the Badger football team. They consider it that deep of a rivalry, which is not me. I'm not like that. But there are people who are like that, which I respect that they take it that far.
Your roommate does that too.
Yes, my roommate. She definitely does that. But she cheers for Notre Dame, which I don't think you can do as a Marquette fan. But
might be even possibly weirder.
I 100% agree, and that's what I say to her every time. And she,
I mean, I can see the correlation.
She's like, it's a Catholic school. I'm like, they fucking hate each other. Notre Dame is, Marquette's for the kids who can't get into Notre Dame. That's how it was. My dad could tell you that. Like, my dad like still is like, he'll okay about Notre Dame football, but not obviously basketball doesn't fly. I don't like Notre Dame basketball either, because Mike Bray is kind of a weirdo in his own right. But that's here nor there. So yeah, you know, they take it deep, and I think that's also to that point of why like the Minnesota Wisconsin rivalry in basketball or in football is really not that fun.
Right.
Some people love that rivalry. Some people might weigh in and say that's my favorite because I love beating Minnesota's ass every year.
You know, I guess that was a better rivalry, but I think the last 10 years the Badgers have dominated it so heavily.
It's 15. I mean, yeah. they're going on 14 straight years.
I mean, Minnesota used to be a good football program.
Right.
Lawrence Maroney.
Oh man.
The hell was his name? The running back from
Marion
the Cowboys.
Barber.
Marion Barber III. Yeah.
And everyone, to me, like, one of the best college football weekends of my life will forever be when Wisconsin blocks the punt against Minnesota, and then literally the next game after, that was 11 a.m. start, the next game after was the Bush push. And Notre Dame, that Notre Dame USC game, probably the best regular season college football game I had ever watched.
Yeah.
If you think about all the guys that were involved in that, how dramatic it was, that was an amazing football game.
Was Tyrone Willingham the coach of Notre Dame too?
I think he was. No, was it Charlie Weiss?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Well, that was 2005, 2006.
Nah, it might have been Willingham. The FUPA might not have got it. Nah.
Yeah, Charlie Weiss wasn't there yet, I don't think.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
All right, we'll have to stat check that later in the show.
Who, I mean, Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush.
Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Mike Williams.
Yeah.
I don't know, did Mike Williams do the whole, went out of college, did the Maurice Kurlett thing and tried to go out as a one-year guy? The Lions drafted him, and then that never really worked.
Nope.
So are there any rivals we're missing? I mean, a Brewers Cardinals fun? I don't think it's as fun because even though the Brewers have had better success against the Cardinals in the last few years, I don't know.
Just like with La Russa being gone, it's not quite the same.
Oh,
the Cardinals
That's
are just so
point.
Vanilla and so...
Yeah,
you know,
you need
so missionary that it's just like
We need a villain on the Cardinals. Like Matt Carpenter seems like kind of a chill dude. Like, you know, he's like talks about salsa.
You can find one if you look hard enough.
No, it's Yadier Molina. My dad has said some very offensive things that can't be said on this podcast about Yadier Molina.
Oh yeah,
I mean I guess it's Yadier.
Oh yeah, sure.
But that's it. I mean, back in the day, you had like Chris Carpenter, asshole.
Well, nobody's opened their fat mouth like Tony La Russa or Chris Carpenter. So
right, exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a good point. You need a villain.
You need that guy who's just going to talk. And plus the Cardinals, you know, they just kind of have been a flea at our side pretty much all year.
Right.
And we knew all along that they'd be at this point and, you know, they'd make a run. And now I think they're finally tiring themselves out a little bit.
Their bullpen's struggling. Their bullpen's really struggling. I think that's part of the issue.
Their offense has just rolled since the deadline, though.
They have a good offense. I mean, I wish the Brewers would have got Matt
Adams.
Really,
the all-star break.
To be honest, I would have rather had Matt Adams than Curtis Granderson. I think Curtis Granderson can do a little bit more, but Matt Adams just has power for days.
Yep.
And you just tell him, like, hey, look, he's country strong. I guess you could say, well, what's the difference between him and Eric Thames? So I don't know. But let's move on to the Packers. I was gonna say, we could go Brewers, but I feel weird talking about the Brewers when they have a big game today, and it's like I just rather save it for the end, and I think the audience would appreciate that because the game could go in any ways. It's not like the Brewers are blowing them out or the Brewers are getting blown out. It's 2-0. It's early, so we'll dive into the Packers. So Aaron Rodgers, I think, you know, is kind of all that was man on Sunday. I mean, you admitted on Twitter you fell asleep, which
I did.
You had a busy weekend.
I had a busy weekend. I got about 5 hours of sleep each night.
Amen. So, you know, that'll happen on one of those weekends.
It wasn't really, you know, it was kind of my own fault.
Yeah.
You know, just one of those things where you can't really sleep in anymore. You get to a certain age and it's tough. And plus the location I was staying at was a friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
And they live right by the airport.
Oh, wow.
So you have planes literally all day and night.
Oh, yeah. That's an international airport.
About 100 feet over your head.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that
so
would be terrible.
So when you're not used to that, you got no chance.
Oh, yeah. They're ass fully in the jackpot there.
Yep.
But, yeah, no.
So I was very tie-tie.
So the funny story with me was that, so watching the game, Morgan, my girlfriend roommate, comes home like halfway through the game. She was somewhere. Oh, she was at Hamilton. She went to Hamilton down in Chicago.
Ah.
So she comes home, kind of watching. I'm like, Rodgers is hurt. I'm like cleaning the kitchen at halftime, like a worried housewife, like just like I want to keep my. And I'm like, well, that knee might be fucked, and like, well, I won't have to worry about like the Packers in London. I can just, you know, whatever.
Wow.
Like, I was worried, man. Like,
I don't blame you. You know, it's Rodgers getting hurt is a life changing. It's just funny to hear those are the thoughts going through your head.
And so then I sit back down. And they're like, Rodgers is going to give it a go.
Should I even go to London?
Rodgers.
Make it that long?
Rodgers is going to give it a go. I said, okay, whatever. And she's kind of tiring out. But as they're coming back, she was like laying down like on me, like had a pillow resting, whatever. And I'm like, you can't leave. She's like, I want to go to bat. I'm like,
nah. Mr. Superstition here.
I'm like, nah.
Here we go.
I'm like, you're staying here. She's like, I fucking hate you.
Didn't and you have like, you had the infamous 2011, like, everybody needs to sit down or everybody
yeah,
needs
sit
to
down, sit down.
Switch chairs or something?
I mean, dude, I get very superstitious, especially like in situations of that nature where it's like a comeback or it's like a big game. Like, yeah, with the 2011 game five against Arizona, I was sitting in the same like recliner, but like it kept getting darker and I didn't turn on any lights. Like I just kept everything off. Like I was sitting in darkness as the game going on. That to me was one of the more intense games in my life.
Oh, yeah.
But this was equally intense. Now, granted, I think Randall Cobb made it a lot easier with the big touchdown catch. Randall Cobb putting the two middle fingers up to all the Twitter haters, all the pinheads.
Yeah, he had a good game.
Nine catches, 142 yards or so.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the best throw Rodgers made was actually to Geronimo
Allison. Oh, yeah. GMO, again, like the Geronimo Allison hype was real. We talked about it last week on the podcast about how Rodgers doesn't like say those things and not mean it. Like, yeah. He found Allison for a couple balls. That deep ball was beautiful. I mean, I don't think that would have like made it. You know what I mean? Like,
And considering he was on a half a leg, you know?
And there's so many what ifs. I think the hyperbole of this was the greatest game Rodgers ever played was a little intense. Like Peter King had that. I thought that
yeah,
was
they
a
were,
little,
they were,
little much.
He's had similar things in bigger games.
Right. I just think that they're. That you
was
know,
that the biggest comeback of his career?
It was the biggest comeback of his career. He's, but I mean, there's been
fair.
Some, and I think though, as I said this, you know, whatever. But you're going to remember this game. You'll always remember this game. This will all because it's a Bears-Packers game. Like we forgot about how awesome that Bengals-Packers game was last year when they came back. I think they were down like. They were down a lot.
The game where it was like 90 degrees.
Yeah, it was 90 degrees, hot as shit. Packers got down, I think like 21-7 early on or something like that. Came all the way back, won that game, and they won in overtime. That was the Rodgers' first overtime win. Then the Dallas game was equally incredible, finding Devontae Adams.
With the famous viral picture of the guy saying they celebrating with a minute and a half left
Yeah,
or something.
Exactly. And so, but we forget about that. And you kind of forget about the Cowboys games because they all blend together. Unfortunately, not unfortunately for Dallas, fortunately for us, they're kind of Aaron's the Cowboys' daddy. Like, he owns the Dallas Cowboys. But you'll always remember this game. And if he does some magical shit against the Vikings, you'll always remember it because that's a rivalry. That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. Well, I mean, where do you... So are we talking about the Bears more, or what do you want to head into the game?
We can still talk about it. I think it's a great performance. But what I'm saying is, like, no matter how the season ends up, I think we'll always remember it, is what I'm saying. I'm still not going to say it's the best thing I've ever seen from Rodgers. It's definitely way up there. It's definitely in the top five. It's in the upper echelon. Like I said, I think it's more Favre than it is Rodgers. I think that was a... Very much a Favre.
Oh, that was a Favrean game.
That was a Favrean game. 100% was.
He came back. Now, my first thought was, why even bring him back in?
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, I mean, like, you're down 20-0. Khalil Mack's on one.
Yeah.
You know, the Bears defense. I mean, the first half, the Packers just were shook.
I have to the Bears came out with so much energy.
Yeah.
The Packers didn't match the energy. I think they didn't necessarily have a game plan for Khalil Mack, and the coaches needed to see...
Trying to think of like a Jason Kidd analogy here or something.
They needed to see what Khalil Mack was doing on the field, and I think they made the halftime adjustments. Brian Bulaga did a pretty good job in the second half.
Yeah, in the second half.
And I
yeah.
think Khalil Mack also wore down. I think
plus,
he was...
like, that one turnover was a lot on DeShone Kizer.
Oh, 100%.
He ran right into him.
Yeah.
And he just took it from him.
Yeah, DeShone Kizer...
Not good.
Was, yeah, a little tight ball.
Granted, he was, again...
I think there was a lot...
Putting a shit spot.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
For starters. You know, he was a little bit... It's not like quite like Brett Hundley last year, but... Of course, you're in a no-win situation if you're in. But actually, I think that first drive when Kizer came in, he was fine.
Bit.
Like, and then all of a sudden
got to the red zone.
Oh my God!
And he had six red zone turnovers last year. So I think what really the Packers need to work with him on is like
red zone,
is how do you know you can only get to Mike Lombardi says this all the time from the Ringer that there are 20-20 guys that they can only take you within the 20s.
It's Philip Rivers,
and yeah, it's Philip Rivers, it's Andy Dalton, it's
Joe
Flacco.
That's probably the difference between a good quarterback and a great quarterback.
Right. I also had this thought after what Tampa did to the Saints. Do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick would have led the Packers to the playoffs last year? Same team. Just do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick was good?
Probably could have got to 9-7. I'd buy that.
I think they could get. Yeah, I think they may have got to 9-7 with that team.
And does that make the playoffs?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't
either. But still, I think you know, and that's sort of.
I think Fitzmagic gives you like a 2-win bump there. Yeah,
yeah,
I would go 9-7.
Yeah, exactly. I would say so too. Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick's an amazing. Like he goes the up and down of like, is he good? Is he not good? Right. It's like the poor man's version of his Joe Flacco.
Well, him and Josh McCown are pretty much the same thing. Where
yeah,
it's
that's
like,
true. Too.
They're like once or twice a year they have like 350 and four touchdowns.
Josh McCown.
And everybody's like, wow, why can't this guy do this every week?
McCown wasn't bad last year. For the Jets.
The Jets. I mean, whatever. They'll be all right.
No, the Jets look good. Jets have a quarterback. I mean, Sam Darnold. I don't know how bad the Lions are and how good the Jets are, but that was probably
somewhere in the middle for both teams. I'm guessing,
as every week one is, and they could go 2-0. They play a beatable Miami team, even though we had the Mount Pius Murph. But still, they play a beatable Miami team.
That's my exact argument for why I struggled week one in picks.
Yeah,
because this is week one. It's
right.
No, everybody's healthy. You know, anything can happen, which is why the Bears. Would have loved to have beat the Packers. I mean, that's you steal one in Lambeau week one.
Absolutely.
Before you know you suck.
And I wrote about this on Stone Tap WI. It's why this game mattered so much more, and that's why Rodgers came back in. If they're playing Buffalo and they're getting waxed, hopefully that doesn't happen. But if they're getting waxed by New England, right? They open up the season against New England. Rodgers is on ice. Those games don't matter.
Well,
those games aren't important. Division games are what's important.
I agree, and you have one coming up this week. So
right, and that's a great way to transition.
I don't know. I feel like he maybe might want to consider not playing this week, and I know that's. Very tough to agree with. I know it's a huge game. It's probably maybe the biggest game of the season. It's up there. I know it's week two.
I think it goes back to that division thing. I really think what's going to happen is I think they are going to see how it goes. They're going to say, hey, do you feel better after this week? I think they're going to bring him out there. I think they can do a lot of similar things they did with Chicago. I think that can be successful. I think they know kind of the game plan from here. And Rodgers will obviously be honest with them from a pain tolerance perspective. And then they're going to check in with him next week. And they're going to say, do you feel better or do you feel the same? I feel the same. Then I think he's on ice for Washington. And we'll see about Buffalo. Because those are two games where if you go 2-2 and then you play Detroit then in week 5, you will see where Detroit is, and then you have San Francisco in week 6, those are games that you probably need Rodgers and you need to play Rodgers.
I think that if he must play this weekend, I think you shut him down week 3.
Have to shut him down week 3. It's all about, I think people are making too much big of a deal about, they don't understand football players. Like today, local radio, people on Twitter, like reporters, were like, Davante Adams' injury, like, what? That complicates things. It's like, it's one day of off days. He's probably okay.
Yeah.
He had a back thing. I saw him grab his back. He has a shoulder issue that flared up. He's probably going to be okay.
Yeah. No, I get that. But I think it's one game. And if you have to get through Minnesota, and if he's all right, then great. But I mean, if, you know, I just feel like it's a lot of eggs in one basket for one game, and you need him for the rest of the season.
I just don't want to live in a world of absolutes. That's what I'm saying. You're like saying, okay, if you play him this week, he has to sit next week. I just think it matters of, hey, how do you feel? Do you still feel like shit?
All I'm saying is just consider it and don't think.
I'm not
like,
saying.
Don't call him a pussy if you're not playing or something.
Oh,
like that.
100% not. I'm not. You don't mean.
Because there's some of that too.
Oh,
on the other end.
Oh, 100%.
There's some of that we're saying like, well, that's what Favre would have done. So I'm glad he did that.
And that's the frustrating thing about Brett Favre because Brett Favre
was Iron Man. Superhuman,
is Iron Man,
and he's also fucked in the head because of it.
And let's also be clear: Brett Favre played in games, and Packer fans forget this because they have a selective memory. Brett Favre had games where he cost his team victories because he needed to start.
Yeah.
He cost his team wins because he wasn't himself.
And I'm as big of Brett Favre fan as you, as probably in this room. And he was obviously some of those games he had to be concussed.
Exactly. Either concussed. He played a game with like a broken fucking thumb and had a split.
Yeah.
It's like, And I don't know the results, and you could probably either prove me right or prove me wrong here, but it's like, I'm not going to if Rodgers doesn't play, then I'm just going to say, well, we got to get him when we go to Minnesota, which is a very tough place to play, yep, around Thanksgiving. And if he's going to be ready and they think he needs 1 week off, it's just, yeah, you don't want to start the season 1-3. And I think you could beat Buffalo without Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you could beat Washington and Minnesota without Aaron Rodgers.
Just, I'm worried too that there's the history last year in Minnesota against them, that they're any type of advantage they could have.
Well, right. But I think,
feel like they have bad intentions.
I think for that specific reason is why Aaron Rodgers wants to go out there. I think that Aaron Rodgers, I think, has a vendetta, if you will, to light these guys up.
Yeah.
I think there is something in his heart of hearts that he knows that these assholes cost him his season.
Yeah.
And I think he'd love to put one right in Anthony Barr's penis. Like, I just think he'd I really do. I think he'd love to clock it right
in
his dick.
He probably hope Barr sacks him so he can just under the pile. Just
right, exactly. Couple shots.
Bam, bam, bam.
Exactly. Right in the
ball bag.
Exactly. I really think so. I 100% think Rodgers wants to get out there for those reasons. I really do.
And Rodgers at 80% is better than Brett Hundley or Deshaun Kizer on there.
Yes.
On their best day.
Right, exactly. I mean, if the GOAT Tim Boyle was in there, I'm not sure. Maybe
Jesus
Tim.
Christ. Yeah,
I'm just
true.
Kidding.
True.
But yeah, no, I think Rodgers is going to play. If he doesn't, I mean, it's not a big deal. So before we get to our predictions, I do want to ask you, what is the one thing that you think people are talking too much about right now in week one of the season, very early? And what do you think people aren't talking enough about?
Oh, boy.
I kind of put you on the spot, but
yeah,
that's
you did.
Okay.
Too much John Gruden talk, but it's probably warranted.
Okay.
I'm flipping on that.
So I was going to go with the Packers, but that's okay. We could go national.
Oh, I thought you meant week one.
No,
okay.
Why don't we? Yeah, fine. I should have prefaced. Okay. Give me what your people are overreacting about in the local media and what people are overreacting about in the national, and then the vice versa.
Maybe snap counts for defensive linemen. I know that Daniels only played like 40% of the snaps or something.
Oh, okay. That snap counts is always hot in the streets.
I think that's a little under talked.
Okay. That Mike Daniels
because Kenny Clark played like 80 or 90% of the snaps.
Right.
And Daniels only played 40.
Yeah,
maybe
that's
Petten's packages. I don't know.
I think,
Over talked. Maybe the cornerback play, the young corners.
Yeah, that people are getting a little too excited about it.
A little too big of a you-know-what.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, it's 1 week.
I think we'll see how they do against
the Bears' weapons aren't quite
They aren't Stephon Diggs.
Adam Thielen's an incredible route runner.
Right. That'll be a great test to see if Josh Jackson will get put in the slot. I think that's the thing to watch. Other than Aaron Rodgers, it is how are they going to line up against Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and, I guess, Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah. Plus you have Laquan Treadwell when he's not dropping the ball.
Yep.
Is their third receiver.
Right, exactly. And
who was a first round pick, I believe.
Right. He's teetering on that bust. He's kind of like, why aren't you at that level?
I watched almost the entire first half of that Vikings Niners game.
Yeah.
And yeah, he had one where he wasn't going to get the first down,
dropped,
but it was like
he dropped a slant.
Right there, yep. It was a slant.
Yep.
And it was
I know
right
exactly
there.
The play you're talking
and
about.
And he probably would have been a yard short, but it was just an egregious drop. And
right.
You never want to see that.
Yeah. I would say, in my opinion, that I kind of think, what's being talked about too much, I kind of mentioned it, the injuries. I just think we're just looking for topics right now because the content well isn't that high. And so it's like, Rodgers hopes to play this week. It's like, all right, guys, we could do this every day. Like, just let's see where we're at on Friday, see where we're at on Saturday, and then let's have that conversation. And I think underreported is how well the defense did play from a just overall, like how many points they allowed. They held their ground. They held their water in the second half. I don't think that's getting talked about enough.
Apparently there was a hashtag hire capers.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
In that first drive.
Oh, my God. People are just, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I can't tell you what's overdone. I wouldn't say the Gruden thing's overdone. I don't know if there's any overdone national topic right now where I'm like, oh, get me out of this hellscape. But I will say what's underreported is...
Was overreaction Monday kind of tame this year?
I think it was a little tame. I'll have something interesting on that.
Nobody got hurt week one.
Exactly. And here everyone's talking about how good of a start to the season it was. And I think the Packers played into it. I think there were just a lot of good games. And I think that really, there were a lot of good matchups. I think the league did its part by really setting up the schedule. And they did it this week too, where you go... Packers Vikings for game one for a lot of people. It's the top Fox game. You know, Buck and Aikman, so you'll get those people. And then you'll have Patriots Jaguars in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And Cowboys Giants, not that fun, but it's kind of a loser leaves town match. Because you know if a team starts 0-2, they're kind of fucked for the playoffs. And I think the Cowboys are real bad.
Sunday night game?
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Of course it's a Sunday night game. And then Seahawks Bears on Monday night. So that's your slate. It's a pretty decent slate for week two. Not terrible. I don't think it's as good as week one. But then I also think not a lot of people are talking about how the Falcons could be ass with losing Keanu Neal and Deion Jones both to IR.
And I told you.
Probably two of their best defenders.
As we were having our post-show meeting last week, I told you, man, I think the Falcons are going to the Super Bowl. I'll tell you that. And then Keanu Neal gets hurt, who's one of the better safeties in the NFL today. Now he's out for the year, right?
Yep, he's done.
Matt Ryan looked horrible.
Matt Ryan looked like he had something wrong with him.
He looked old.
Yeah.
And that's not good. So
nope.
I might be redacting my statement there.
It's okay.
But hey, it's a long season.
Before you go to the Brewers, where's your worry level on the Raiders from a scale of 1 to 10?
Not too bad because, okay, the Rams are good.
Uh-huh.
The Raiders were fine for a lot of that game.
Yeah.
Derek Carr's interception's not great, and especially considering John
Where's Gruden. Your worry level with Derek Carr?
Kind of high, because he hasn't been the same player since he broke his leg.
Right.
Which is just typical.
I saw someone had mentioned, like, he's become a check down Alex Smith guy. Like, he doesn't want to throw the deep ball.
I think he's scared to get hit a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
he is. And, you know, he only came back, halfway through the season last year or something like that. So, I mean, and without Khalil Mack, they weren't getting a pass rush. And I believe Gruden had a comment after the game saying we could have used the pass rush. It's going to be, and that was, that deal only happened, not even 2 weeks ago?
Right.
So, I mean, they haven't had much. Well, of course, they didn't have him for the whole preseason. So
right, but still, yeah.
You kind of maybe expected, he'd give in and come back.
All right. Yes, Mitch is a note. For those who aren't familiar, Mitch is a Raiders fan, so that's why we sometimes weave in a little Raider talk here and there.
Yeah.
But moving on to the Milwaukee Brewers. So the Brewers are wrapping up this series against the Cubs as we tape. I believe it's still 2-0. Is that accurate, Mitchell?
I will check here for you.
I'm actually checking myself.
So good
2-0. Yes, great radio. Top 5, 2-0. Chase Anderson pitching okay, apparently.
Wow.
Fifth inning, though, he does kind of get Dave Bushey in.
In the middle.
We're not going to jinx Chase Anderson.
No, we're not going to.
But so either the Brewers will be one game down or they'll be three games back. Choose your own adventure. We'll start with the negative first, maybe as a positive jinx. If they are three back, do you think, is there any way they win the division, or is it just we're playing in the wild card and that's that?
Well, it ain't over till it's over.
Right,
and,
but you have
a week ago, we thought they were dead.
Right, a lot of people did, because that was the whole, why is Christian Yelich bench? Or why is Christian Yelich sitting on the bench?
So there's 15 left?
Yep.
It's tough at three.
I think at three, it gets difficult. Now, granted,
especially considering the Cubs play the White Sox.
Right.
Now, those Cardinals games are huge.
The Cardinals games are huge. The National game is sneaky big with that 2.5 because who knows how that swings it. Obviously, then the Cubs play on that Thursday following, and that would be the other half game. So those are really, if you do get down to three, the big games then become those Thursday games where the Brewers don't play, because that can swing it either way. That could make it four games, or that could make it two games, or just 3.5.
And it does sound like the weather's going to be good for Thursday afternoon.
Right,
in
exactly.
DC.
Yeah, and if we have any listeners in Carolina, stay safe.
So that game is going to be played in DC.
Yeah, and the hurricane is going to come up to DC later on in the week, I think Friday,
And they're just supposed to get like some of the bands or
whatever. They're going to get the surges and stuff like that. They're not getting the eye. The eye is getting Carolina, North
Carolina.
I was hoping
Donald Trump would finally disappear in this hurricane. Except that guy's going to live forever.
Okay. That was unexpected.
It's a joke.
No, I know. He also called the hurricane tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Yes, I saw that. He's always good for a one-liner.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, man. Not Trump. A little Gruden. We'll see what happens. So if the Brewers are three back, yeah, I think it's a really tough hill to climb. If they're one back, then it's anyone's game. It's just, it becomes a literal every, you're checking every pitch, you're checking every at bat, you're trying not to pay too close attention to it, you're living and breathing out, you're a fan of every team.
And you're
team.
Also hoping that the Brewers sort of overcome their struggles against the Pirates and Reds.
Right, and they were better against the Pirates last time, they won
and
two
the
out
Reds
of three.
Last time.
And you get Chris Archer and Ivan Nova, who have been both not great.
I didn't know Ivan Nova was still pitching right now.
Chris Archer on the mound on Friday and then Nova on Saturday.
The Brewers lit him up.
Yeah. Trevor Williams on Sunday, he's been really good for the Pirates. He's been like, they're kind of like their ace. So you get him then. And Gio, we'll see another round of Gio Gonzalez. I did not watch the game. I don't think you did either because we were both out.
Gio went six
from
scoreless,
what we read,
right?
Yeah. He only walked two, struck out seven. If I'm wrong about Gio Gonzalez, I'll say I'm wrong. We can play the Jim Calhoun. We can do the whole thing.
I saw a tweet about from one of the Brewers Twitter guys saying, I wonder what's on Derek Johnson's clipboard, like saying like what makes him so good type of thing.
Right.
And somebody goes, a contract extension, and he goes, hopefully. I forget which one it was.
Yeah, but definitely, I think Derek Johnson, and what we talked about with Gio is like Derek gave him a week, and obviously Derek saw some things and said, okay, now here's what you got to do, and here's how you got to apply it, and it looks like it worked. Obviously, now we'll see how Gio does against Pittsburgh, and going forward, he'll get two starts against the Pirates.
It's just interesting that like. I wonder what Derek Johnson says to like David Stearns or like just let me work with this guy or like I see some things like or do you think Stearns tells him like, hey, we're thinking about Gio Gonzalez, here's a night or two, watch a little bit of film.
That's a really good question. I think
and like see if you can pick something out, like if you think you can work with this guy and he can help us out.
I think that there are guys who Derek Johnson I think it's a mutual thing between Derek Johnson, Craig Counsell, David Stearns, and then the scouts. I think the scouts will say to Stearns, hey, let's take a look at Wade Miley, right? Wade Miley's a great example of this. Wade Miley's on a non-roster. He was so bad last year, but you send it to Derek and you say, hey, is this fixable? And Derek, I have to think though that Derek Johnson has a ton of honesty with people. I don't think Derek Johnson would lie and say like, hey, you know, I can fix everybody.
True.
Because I'm sure there are so many guys we don't know about.
The more
we
talk about this, the more I wish the Brewers would have gotten Gausman.
Right. Exactly.
But I was just thinking. Andrew Cashner, he's dog shit right now.
Yeah,
he's got all the tools in the world though.
Well, we'll see. And see, that's the other problem though. I think I'll be okay with any guy the Brewers sign, but you just don't know. Someone mentioned Garrett Richards, right? Garrett Richards had another.
Angels.
He's kind of like Eovaldi, where he.
Well, Eovaldi is another. Yeah.
Yeah, Eovaldi. He tore up his arm, and Richards is going to take a long way back. But he could be a potential guy that the Brewers could sign next year. There are going to be guys out there. The Brewers are never going to sign an ace. But I think David Stearns, Craig Counsell, and Derek Johnson have built this model of we can just get 2 to 4 starters, and maybe Jimmy Nelson becomes an ace. Maybe Corbin Burns becomes that ace. I mean, they're kind of set in their rotation next year any way you want to look at it. Yeah. I think it's going to be a fight for who gets spots, right? I think it'll be really, really interesting. But yeah, I think Derek Johnson obviously saw something in Gio that could make it done. And I think the biggest thing with Gio was just not to nibble. I think he nibbled so much, and he was very Giovanni Gallardo-like, where, you know, Giovanni would make a 5-inning game seem like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I think
that's
Gio,
the worst kind of pitcher.
Oh, God, yeah. It gets on your nerves in the worst kind of way.
As a fan, I think as a player, you know, as a defense, it just kind of – throw strikes and just, you know, I mean, look at the Cubs on Tuesday night.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it was pretty much here it is, hit it, and then a curveball.
And yeah, and Jose
and the Brewers were like off balance.
Jose Quintana is obviously the scariest pitcher for the Brewers going forward, because if you think about it, you're probably gonna play the Cubs in the playoffs. They may not, you may avoid them if they lose in a 1-game playoff.
God,
if the Brewers
I hope we don't have to play the Cubs in the playoffs.
It's
going to be a nightmare, man.
I think the whole city would burn. I really do. I think it would be an amazing 2 weeks that I would be in London for. And I would just just need like weekly, daily reports of like, yeah, someone got stabbed outside of Trinity because they were talking shit.
I don't know if that's
intense. But no, Quintana is our daddy. I wrote that yesterday and I mean it. I think
He just looked dialed in. You know,
right. I mean, he was an ace. He pitched like an ace yesterday. People think that Quintana can be an ace. He was an ace. But if he's an ace in the postseason, he pitches game one and he pitches game five. And that's a concern. That's an outright concern for the Brewers.
Yeah.
And I think their scouts have done a really good job of getting a book on their defense. Because how many hits do the Cubs hit right into the shift Monday and Tuesday? Mm-hmm. Carantini's like little blooper would have been an out had Chacin not made that dumbass error. That would have been out. And yeah, they would have scored only one run, and who knows?
Well, and I think one of the reasons Stearns got Jonathan Scope was to negate those lefties.
Right.
A little bit, to give him another good guy against left-handed pitching.
Right, and Scope's been pretty good for the last 15 days. Yeah. I mean,
granted, I think he's hitting over 300. He's up to like 240 as a Brewer.
I think the Fox Sports Wisconsin crew has done a little bit of a PR campaign for Jonathan Scope, like really pushing, like, oh, yeah, he's been doing better, which I mean, it's a local broadcast, right? You kind of have to do that a little bit. But I definitely think that Scope's been improving.
Yeah.
I think it'll be really nice for the Brewers not to face so many goddamn lefties for Jesus Aguilar needs like 3 days off. Like, I really believe that. I think he's tired. And I just think it's interesting that fans are calling into shows, you know, and saying Aguilar needs a rest. He needs a seat, when those are the same motherfuckers who were bitching about Christian Yelich sitting down for a game.
Well, like, true, but in their defense, you're talking about a guy who's playing like an MVP in the biggest game of the year.
How is this game not bigger than the game last week? Tuesday night not bigger than this game? It's all relative.
And I think this is Tim Allen's argument, is that every game is the biggest
game
of the
year. But the fact of the matter is you can sit a guy. It was more of the Brewers' fault for not resting Christian Yelich earlier, which Craig Counsell owned up. He's like, we didn't recognize that this guy needed a break. Craig took the blame like a good manager and said, we didn't recognize this guy needed a break. Craig basically was like, look, we fucked up. We should have got this guy a break when we were in Cincinnati, when we were in this. But unfortunately, the room for error of losing a game was so marginal for the Brewers. And the fact that they're even contending for the NL Central on September 12th is kind of phenomenal if you think about it, because they were 500 for June, July, and August.
Yeah. Now September, they finally figured it out.
I mean,
they
turned it on. And that was something we talked about. Could they turn it on? Could they make it happen? And they have. So I do think Aguilar, though, needs a few days off, whether it's Thames playing first, whether it's Travis Shaw at first. I think you just need to rest him a little bit. And we'll see where they net out. They have a big series upcoming. They play the Cardinals next weekend, right?
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
I think so. I don't know.
I have to look. I think you're right, though. I think they're in St. Louis.
Yeah, they're in St. I know they have one more series against the Cardinals. So, see what happens.
Well, that'll be pretty big too. I mean,
that would definitely
from the
be
other
big.
Side.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no, they're at Pittsburgh and then at St. Louis.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is talk about that's an. And I think the Cubs play St. Louis while we're at Pittsburgh.
Yep.
So yeah, those will be some big time series. But we will continue to talk about the Brewers. We'll continue to talk about the Packers. Bring back the Badgers after they get done with their non-conference. A little sneaky game against BYU this week, but we'll talk Badgers.
Is BYU
Iowa.
Back?
Yeah, they're not terrible this year. They beat North. Who did they beat?
Well, the Badgers played BYU this weekend last year.
Yeah,
and blew them out.
And BYU was a really bad team, but BYU beat Arizona.
Yes,
and then they lost by 3 to Cal.
Oh.
So, not bad. So we'll see. Maybe BYU poses the Badgers a challenge. Maybe it doesn't. They have a very tough game with Iowa in 2 weeks. So we'll talk about that and obviously get ready for Packers Redskins and whatever the Brewers are in the NL Central and the wild card. So look forward to you then. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Later.